You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. We are
Nick
and Mary Angela. Happy to be here this evening with you, and so glad that you can join us.
So we'd like to start the evening off with a prayer from St. Ignatius of Loyola. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you, to give and not to count the cost, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, so as to set the world on fire.
And yes, we are going to set the world on fire.
So we want to thank all the listeners out there, near and far, on the internet, on the phone, and Canada, around the world. A big thank you to Jeff, Alex, and a good friend of ours, Francesco, for making this show happen tonight. Again, I am Nick, and with Mary Angela, and we're so excited to talk to you this evening. So this evening, it's a little bit, we have so many things to talk about, but we'll start. The first thing we're going to talk about is how is your Lenten journey going? The second part will be the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the Stations of the Cross. So Mirangela, how is your Lenten journey so far?
I think it's been going pretty good. I've been trying to not so much give up things, but more so take things on. So been trying to be more prayerful, including the rosary every day. Most days I've been doing it, if not just part of it, but all of it. So pretty good. How about you, Nick?
Yeah, you're right that we try and do the rosary every night, if not a small part, one decade. I like to do the examination of conscience every evening, so as to, it's an Ignatian prayer, which falls perfectly with this evening. And I find it helpful because it's kind of like a daily journal. And so it's helped me on my Lenten journey. And it's Palm Sunday coming up. So Lent is rapidly coming to a close.
Actually, it just occurred to me that, you know, I said I wasn't actually giving up things. But I guess in a way I am by including, more prayers in my daily life, right? That's cutting out all the distractions.
Yeah, you take something out, but you put something positive in. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's good. And I hope everyone out there listening is having a successful Lenten journey, you know, to turn away from evil and, you know, repent and get closer to God.
I know. I can't believe that we're already into Palm Sunday.
Yeah, and just because Lent is over doesn't mean the journey's over. It's, it's ongoing.
It is.
We go deeper in these 40 days. So
that's right. We need to be, like you had started the shows, be set on fire, be converted.
Yeah. So tonight, Miranda, what are we doing?
So tonight we just wanted to include a different form of prayer, and that's the Ignatian spirituality. It's a contemplative prayer style, and it's used by the Jesuits. It's a type of prayer where we put ourselves right into the passage or the reading, and it makes us feel like we're actually in that place. So tonight we're going to be focusing on the Garden of Gethsemane. So we're going to be using our senses to feel like we are there, right in the garden. And it's a mental or spiritual and physical prayer all in one. And it allows us to go deeper into our faith and to see that God is in all things. And so when we use contemplative prayer in our life, what we may find is that we'll become more attentive, and this leads to more awareness. We become more receptive and present. We're able to embrace and desire God more, and finally, to allow His unconditional love in our hearts.
So the format of a contemplative prayer are in three parts. The first part is imagination. So we like to set the stage, the place, what's happening in the Bible passage, so as to really feel, hear, smell, and taste what's going on in that scene.
So we're using all our senses.
All our senses, right? And we can also see the emotion of, in this case, Jesus and the apostles. You know, what emotion were they feeling? So that's the first part, is imagination. The next part of this prayer is reflection. So we have four reflections this evening to share with you some thoughts and insights.
Based on the passage of Jesus in the garden, right?
We'll read it to you slowly so as to go into the heart of prayer. And the third part of this type of contemplative prayer is meditation. So with music and time for silence, which we really won't do tonight because they can't keep it too silent on the air, we'll give you a chance to breathe and to rest and even digest what you heard. Because in the quiet time, you will be able to absorb the word of God. God's voice is silence. So in the calm, you will draw closer to Jesus. So we will begin this contemplative prayer, and we suggest that you sit back and you relax. And we begin by closing our eyes, and we imagine that we are now entering into the Mount of Olives with Jesus and the apostles. They have just finished the traditional Passover meal with lamb and bitter herbs. They are overlooking the city of God. Imagine the sensation of the cool breeze at dusk as we are in the garden. The winds are blowing, so inhale the fresh air from the olive trees. Breathe in slowly, in and out. We see the wonders of nature. The stars, the moon shining brightly. But what do we hear? We listen to some of the sounds that are in the garden, and it would sound like this. So now we will read the passage that we will pray on.
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not undergo the test." After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still not my will, but yours be done." And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him.
He was in such agony and he prayed so fervently that sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to the disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test." While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest.
So let us imagine we have just entered the garden at the Mount of Olives. We hear a breeze. We see Jesus and the apostles have entered into the cool, dark garden overlooking Jerusalem. They have just finished the Lord's Supper. And how do we feel? Do we feel the joy after having enjoyed the breaking bread at the Last Supper? Or do we feel the tension and anxiety of knowing what is to come? How quickly life can change.
Yes, it can change very fast.
One moment, it's consolation, and the next, it's desolation. Now is a time for preparation. So in the garden, in nature, we can find that we can breathe easier, our brain can be sharper, our blood pressure lowers. The sounds of nature lessens our stress and anxiety. It's a good place to prepare. This is why Jesus went into the garden, for preparation, to rest and pray, for strength and courage, and so be ready for the Via Crucis, the way of the cross. In Jesus' preparation, he prayed so intensely, he ended up sweating drops of blood. Now, how do we prepare when we are faced with challenges? Do we take the time to be in nature and include Jesus? In our Lenten journey, and as we are concluding our Lenten journey, we were asked to do three things: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. These three involve a discipline of letting go, preparing, and going into the deep. Let us meditate on the words perseverance, endurance, strength.
Thank you.
So the next reflection we will be contemplating on is prayer. So let us imagine now, as we visualize, we see Jesus kneeling on the big rock. If you've ever been to Mount of Olives, the church is around the rock. There's a big rock at the center where tradition is that Jesus prayed on there. At this moment, he is looking up and dripping in a cold sweat and begins to pray. If we are there, we can feel it getting colder as we get closer to midnight, where we start to feel the shadows of the night. You can even hear the wolves and the coyotes start to howl. Jesus chose to pray because it is our sacred relationship with God. Prayer is our deepest desire to return to God's love. There is an emptiness in all of us that can only be filled by God. That's this famous quote by St. Augustine. He says, "Lord, I am restless until my heart rests in you." I think that's like a lot of us. We're searching and searching, but we're searching in the wrong places. And when we think we're happy, then we realize, oh man, why did I do that? Right? So we're easily tempted because we're human. So Lent is a wonderful time to get back on the saddle, as they say. And one of the best ways to do that is start by praying, right? Like, instead of doing a lot of things, especially like
busy work.
Work, or like, especially with social media, we can get so attached to the social media part that we forget to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really addicted to social media, why not pray online? Why not listen to what you're doing like tonight? Social media has very good positive sides too.
You can promote.
You can help evangelize. So, why not, as they say, get two birds with one stone, right? The possibilities are endless. But prayer is at the heart of the contemplative prayer. Jesus chose to pray in time of need, because that is the best option. But his disciples could not stay awake. He said to them, "Could you not stay awake with me just for 1 hour?" So I'm putting it out there to everyone listening. How is our prayer life? Does it need a tune-up? Can we do more? Or maybe can we do less in the sense of talking prayers and reciting them, and maybe do more listening? Because that in itself is a prayer. Because sometimes we're so busy, reciting and that's great. But we also need time to absorb and take it in.
To listen.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of doing this prayer. You stop and you meditate and you let the word of God come in. So Jesus said, "Could you not stay with me and pray 1 hour?" We have 168 hours in the week. Can we spend maybe 15 minutes more, half an hour with Jesus? The Jesuits have many prayers, and one of them is called the Examination of Conscience. And that is a prayer we can do daily in our lives. And I strongly suggest that we do it. It's a daily reflection on what we've done. You could do it in the morning, afternoon, or night. Typically, I'd like to do it at night. And it simply is three steps to that. We can say, what have I done? What am I doing? And what will I do for you, Lord? We can be grateful. Did we forgive this day? Were we aware of all the graces that God has bestowed on us? Jesus did many prayers, and one of them was the Our Father. So we'd like to share with you now the actual Our Father and the way Jesus prayed it in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we will do it in the original language that Jesus prayed and spoke, which is Aramaic. as Jesus was kneeling, he was starting to really breathe deeply. And the Our Father, which is a big part of the Garden of Gethsemane, which Mariangela will talk about, in surrendering and doing his will, sounded like this.
Our third reflection is then surrendering to God. So let us imagine the scene now. It's late at night. We see the fog is setting in, and we feel the air is damp and heavy. The next day, Jesus is about to face his greatest fear, to die for the sins of all humanity. We don't hear the apostles because they are silent. They had fallen asleep. Perhaps we hear them snoring. Jesus surrenders with his hands raised, saying, "My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done." And so here we see both the human nature of Jesus and the divine nature of Jesus. He humbles himself and acknowledges it is the Father's will to be done. This is a reminder for us that in our lives, we are to turn it over to Him, to let go and let God, and thus surrender. Jesus teaches us obedience. Jesus shows that he is obedient to God's divine plan. There are times when we have struggles and we may ask, "Why is this happening to me?"
Yeah, I hear it all the time.
There may be no explanation. There may be reasons greater that we just do not know. But what we do know and we must trust is that God is always there for us. And so may we always pray, "Lord, you have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will." And let us meditate then on these three words: trust, humility, submit.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
So our next reflection will be suffering. And what it takes to get through the suffering is courage. So let us imagine now in the Garden of Gethsemane what's going on. As we continue to breathe deeply and relax and keep our eyes closed, we can see the soldiers and Judas approaching from a distance. You can feel the heat of their torches, the pounding of their feet as they approach. You can hear the grumbling of the soldiers and the tension in the air because it is late at night and they'd rather be home than be doing what they're doing. Even Jesus could feel the weight of the cross, and because it was heavy, because our sins were so heavy. Jesus felt alone and fatigued. He felt abandoned. Because this night, Peter would deny him. The apostles would fall asleep when he needed them. And Judas, a friend, was soon to betray him. That is the worst part. Sometimes we come across betrayal, be it in our personal life, our business life. And imagine what Jesus was going through.
A huge disappointment when it's a friend.
Yeah, and even called him friend. Come here, what have you come to do? So even later this night, to add to the sorrow and misery where Jesus was trying to prepare for the way of the cross, there was a false trial and he was thrown into prison. And what did he do? All he did was miracles and love us. Many years ago, we went to Jerusalem. And we went to a cell down a cave where tradition has it Jesus was held as a prisoner. And I remember there was a group from Texas that was there. And as we were down in the pit, they started singing, "Were you there when they crucified the Lord?" And I just felt like, wow, I just felt like one of those moments where...
Yeah, it was so powerful, it gave you goosebumps.
Yeah, it's like you felt the presence of Jesus was there. So he was in great pain, but what did he do? He remained courageous. So whenever in doubt or in times of trouble, look to Jesus and what he went through. And when you do that, you'll quickly realize that what we're going through was nothing compared to what he did. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You see, friends, there is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. Jesus knew his purpose, and his purpose was for our salvation. Do we realize how fortunate we are? I'd like to share with you a quote from St. Ignatius. He says, "Act as if everything depended on you. Trust as if everything depended on God. If God causes you to suffer much, it is a sign that he has great designs for you and that he certainly intends to make you a saint." So let us now, as we continue to keep our eyes closed, meditate on this phrase, abandonment to divine providence, as we share with you the song that we heard while we were where Jesus was in the cell. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" So, any thoughts, Maranja? We're finishing off the section, the first part of the talk this evening, the Garden of Gethsemane. Was there something that moved you, or in you know, we've practiced this a few times, and something that you think?
Well, I think I'm gonna try to maybe use this way of prayer, this contemplative style of prayer, more often. Maybe you know, try to open up the Bible, take a passage, and try to you know, use it and see where it leads us. It's very, I find it really does put you there, you know, to be actually present in the moment.
Yeah. I've took away many things from this, but recently I was at a retreat with the Jesuits at Manresa, and I noticed that in the room there was not one but two crosses. And I just, throughout that whole retreat, I just would sit back and listen, because it was a silent retreat. Mm-hmm. So you really couldn't talk. And it's amazing what you can hear in the silence. And just gazing at the cross, just like that in itself is a prayer. You know, you can listen, but you can also look at and absorb what you see. Because the Jesuits, their form of prayer is, you know, as mentioned before, is see God in all things, right? In a cross, in the nature, in the eyes of a loved one.
Yeah, using all your senses.
The outdoors, right? Mm. Everything is God's creation. So I chose just to look at the cross, and it just, I found it so peaceful. And, you know, I bought one, a beautiful Benedictine cross, which I highly recommend everyone have, because that's supposed to protect us from evil. And I hung it in our room. And it just reminds me how, you know, what that weekend was about silence and contemplative prayer. So we encourage you to try this form of prayer and just slowly absorb. You know, basically, it's letting out and taking in the beauty of God, if in simplistic forms, right? It's not too heavy with words, and it's just about being present, but absorbing, taking in. You know, a lot of prayers and practices are about letting go, like emptying yourself. That's great, but you have to ask, what's coming in, right? Now that we're empty, right?
You need to be filled.
You have to be filled.
Filled with the word of
yes.
God.
Yeah. So we thank you for listening to the first part. The next part we'd like to share with you are the Stations of the Cross, which a lot of churches do on the Fridays of Lent. And right now, Maranja, can you, we can start with the first part?
Yeah, we're going to be doing actually the scriptural way of the cross. And we find this in this little book that is called Jesus's Last Days. And the spiritual way of the cross, the way of the cross is a devotion to the sacred passion. And it's where we accompany in spirit our blessed Lord in his sorrowful journey from the house of Pilate to Calvary. And as we pray this devotion, we recall to mind with sorrow and love all that took place from the time when he was condemned to death to his being laid in the tomb. And so there are 14 stations or places in the way of the cross, and at which something took place. And so we're to say a prayer after each station, and we are to meditate on the suffering of the Lord represented to us at each station. So let's begin the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, grant that we who meditate on the passion and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, may imitate in our lives his love and self-giving to you and to others. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. So the first prayer, or station of the cross, is Jesus is condemned to death. Oh, Jesus, help me to appreciate your sanctifying grace more and more. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, save the world through him. He was harshly treated, yet he submitted and did not open his mouth. He was silent like a lamb and led to the slaughter. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Let us pray. Father, in the flesh of your Son, you condemned sin. Grant us the gift of eternal life in the same Christ, your Lord.
The second station. Jesus bears his cross. O Jesus, you chose to die for me. Help me to love you always with all my heart. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Those who wish to be my followers must deny their very selves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Father, your Son Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death. Teach us to glory above all else in the cross, in which is our salvation. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
The third station, Jesus falls the first time. O Jesus, make me strong to conquer my wicked passions and to rise quickly from sin. He has broken my teeth with the gravel and trampled me in dust. I have been deprived of peace and have forgotten what happiness is. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father, help me to remain irreproachable in your sight so that we can offer you our body as a holy and living offering. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Amen. The fourth station, Jesus meets his mother. O Jesus, grant me a tender love for you, for your mother, who offered you for love of me. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Come all you who pass along the road. Look and see whether there is any pain like my pain. You are now in anguish, but I will see you again. Then your hearts will rejoice, and no one shall deprive you of your joy. Let us pray. Father, accept the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of your Son. May they contain from your mercy every good for our salvation. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
The fifth station, Jesus is helped by Simon. O Jesus, like Simon, lead me ever closer to you through my daily crosses and trials. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. A servant is not greater than his master. Let us pray. Father, you have first loved us, and you sent your Son to expiate our sins. Grant that we may love one another and bear each other's burdens. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The sixth station. Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. O Jesus, imprint your image on my heart, that I may be faithful to you all my life. His appearance was disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The Father is the reflection of God's glory and the exact representation of his very being. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may reflect your Son's glory and be transformed into his image, so that we may be configured to him. We ask this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. The seventh station. Jesus falls a second time. O Jesus, I repent for having offered you, offending you. Grant me forgiveness of all my sins. I was hard-pressed to close and too close and falling, but the Lord came to my aid. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with your weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, but without sinning. Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Let us pray. God our Father, grant that we may walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who suffered for us and redeemed us, not with gold or silver, but with the price of his own blood. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Eighth station. Jesus speaks to the women. O Jesus, grant me tears of compassion for your sufferings and of sorrow for my sins. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and for your children. Whoever does not abide in me will be thrown away like a withered branch. You will all come to the same end as some Galileans who perish unless you repent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you desire to show mercy rather than anger toward all who hope in you. Grant that we may weep for our sins and merit the grace of your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
The ninth station, Jesus falls a third time. O Jesus, never let me yield to despair. Let me come to you in hardship and spiritual distress. My strength is trickling away like water, and all my bones are dislocated. My heart has turned to wax, and it melts within me. My mouth is as dry as clay, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You have laid me down in the dust of death. Let your attitude be identical to that of Christ. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. All who exalt himself shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Let us pray. God our Father, look with pity on us, oppressed by the weight of our sins, and grant us your forgiveness. Help us to serve you with our whole heart. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The tenth station. Jesus is stripped of his garments. O Jesus, let me sacrifice all my attachments rather than imperil the divine life of my soul. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Those those who do not renounce all their possessions cannot be my disciples. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and allow no opportunity for the flesh to gratify its sinful desires. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let nothing deprive us of your love, neither trials nor distress nor persecution. May we become the wheat of Christ and be one pure bread. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The 11th station, Jesus is nailed to the cross. O Jesus, strengthen my faith and increase my love for you. Help me accept my crosses. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son reconciled us to you and to one another. Help us to embrace his gift of Christ and remain united with you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The 12th station. Jesus dies on the cross. O Jesus, I thank you for making me a child of God. Help me to forgive others. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him. Let us pray. God our Father, by his death, your Son has conquered death, and by his resurrection, he has given us life. Help us to adore his death and embrace his life. Grant this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
The 13th station, Jesus is taken down from the cross. O Jesus, through the intercession of your Holy Mother, let me be pleasing to you. Thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Those who love your law have great peace. This is how God showed his love. He sent his only Son into the world as an atoning sacrifice. Let us pray. God our Father, grant that we may be associated in Christ's death so that we may advance towards the resurrection with great hope. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The 14th station. Jesus is placed in the tomb. O Jesus, strengthen my will to live for you on earth and bring me to eternal bliss in heaven. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. However, if it dies, it bears much fruit. When Christ died, he died to sin once and for all. However, the life he lives for God. In the same way, you must regard yourself as being dead to sin and alive for Christ, for God in Christ Jesus. Christ was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you raised Jesus from the dead through your Holy Spirit. Grant life to our immortal bodies through the same Spirit who abides in us. We ask this through the name of Jesus the Lord.
So before we close this evening, we'd like to thank everyone for listening and being part of this evening where we were able to share a little bit about our Lenten journey and the Garden of Gethsemane and the Stations of the Cross. Please make sure you attend all these beautiful masses and services in the upcoming Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday. And so, again, before we close, I'd like to big thank you to the staff here at Radio Maria. Please support us in any way you can. And just a small note, we are doing the Garden of Gethsemane at All Saints. And thank you for all the listeners to All Saints for your support. The Holy Thursday night, it'll be April 18th at 9 p.m. So continue your Lenten journey.
Thanks for joining us this evening. And also join us next month as well in May. We always do this program, Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, every second Wednesday of the month.
Then we'll be talking about Pentecost.
So a concluding prayer. Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son to the death of the cross to save us from evil. Grant us the grace of the resurrection. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.